So if you're just joining us, we're in this year-long invitation to rest as a community. So we're seeking this year to become a well-rested people. So like, yes, well-rested, counterculturally perhaps, if you were paying attention to the news this week. In the past week, our world has had a week, has it not? A quick recap, okay? Hurricane Helene's death toll rose above 230 people as many homes were just getting their power back when Hurricane Milton made landfall as one of the largest storms that we've ever seen since keeping records of storms in the Atlantic. In other news this week, the United States Surgeon General, the federal government's like office for issuing reports on, you know, like smoking's bad for you and plastics can have carcinogens, like that group, they announced that there basically was this report that came out about how parents are showing alarming stress-related health risks. We're used to like maybe reports from the Surgeon General, right, about something regarding the kids, like the kids aren't all right. And then this report telling us that actually it's the parents aren't all right. And maybe some of us were like, oh yeah, maybe that's right, that feels right. Election polls released this week described a deadlocked presidential election race, putting democracy, you know, in an interesting place for ensuing drama about the voting results when it's that close. And this past Monday, October 7th, marked a year since Hamas attacked Israel, kicking off the most recent round of violence in the Middle East, now involving not only Palestine, but Lebanon and Iran, involving more and more people in the devastation and death. More personally, a friend of ours, after long awaiting her firstborn child, just found out that the newborn has a rare life-threatening cancer. And that's just this week, friends. It strikes me that in the scriptures, when Jesus talks about our subject today, the subject of joy and delight, Jesus himself says plainly, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus seems to get that unrest and sorrow in this life are guaranteed realities. The man of sorrows, as the prophet Isaiah described Jesus, is yet also the one who defiantly, who boldly, who counterculturally expressed this beautiful desire for his disciples, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Sorrow, friends, may be inevitable in this life, but joy perhaps is not. With Jesus, though, delight can be a gift. Joy can be a gift, but it's one that also, it's clear from the scriptures, needs to be chosen and cultivated day after day as we learn from and live with our joyful God. But how? In Cormac McCarthy's novel, The Road, there's this one beautiful scene of delight that I want to share with you. It's a scene that's shared by the two main characters in the book. It's a father and a son, and the book describes them crossing this like post-apocalyptic landscape that's just been wiped out by an unspecified disaster that's destroyed the industrial civilization as they knew it and nearly all life. And here's how this scene unfolds. On the outskirts of the city, they came to a supermarket, his father and son. A few old cars in the trash-strewn parking lot. They left the cart that they had been pushing in the lot and walked the littered aisles. In the produce section, in the bottom of the bins, they found a few ancient runner beans and what looked to have been once apricots, long dried to wrinkled effigies of themselves. The boy followed behind his father. They pushed out through the rear door in the alleyway behind the store, a few shopping carts all badly rusted. They went back through the store again, looking for another cart, but there were none. By the door, there were two soft drink machines that they found that had been tilted over onto the floor and opened with a pry bar. Coins everywhere in the ash. He sat down and ran his hand around in the works of the gutted machine. In the second one, it closed over a metal cylinder. He withdrew his hand and sat looking at a Coca-Cola. What is it, Papa? It's a treat for you. What is it? Here, sit down. He slipped the boy's knapsack straps loose and set the pack on the floor behind him, and he put his thumbnail under the aluminum clip on the top of the can and opened it. He leaned his nose to the slight fizz coming from the can and then handed it to the boy. Go ahead, he said. The boy took the can. It's bubbly, he said. Go ahead. He looked at his father and then tilted the can and drank. He sat there thinking about it. It's really good, he said. Yes, it is. You have some, Papa. I want you to drink it. You have some. He took the can and sipped it and handed it back. You drink it, he said, and let's just sit here. Papa, with a Coca-Cola can, offering it to his son to delight in. That can, that flavor of Coca-Cola, seasoned by the desolation around them, was probably the best Coca-Cola anyone had ever had. And the story just reminds me of how God, our heavenly Papa, can surprise us. God brings joy to us in our actual life. Despite our aversions, our expectations, our fears, our anxieties, God brings joy to us in our actual life. That makes Sabbath, friends, a space and a practice of receiving the gift, popping the top, and sitting there, enjoying the delight together with God. See, God commands us to observe the Sabbath in Deuteronomy 5, as we read again. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how that word observe has the connotation of guarding that goes with it. Guard the Sabbath seems to be the command. Guard the Sabbath from taskmasters that can steal your rest and your joy. Guard the Sabbath to, not just from, but for. Guard the Sabbath for joy, for delight, a day of delight. According to Genesis, Sabbath is this built-in day to the fabric of creation. Sabbath comes every 7 days. Every 7 days, whether you're ready for it or not. After a week of bliss, perhaps. After a week of hardship. In winter, in summertime, in fall. To shape us into delighting in God. In all seasons and experiences throughout our lives. This weekly creational rhythm is this reminder to choose delight, to choose joy even when we aren't feeling like it yet. Sabbath invites us to practice choosing to open our eyes and our hands to the daily joy God brings in your actual life. We open our hands each week at this table to receive the bread of communion as an embodied rehearsal of how we are to open our hands to the daily bread Jesus is offering us in our actual lives. It's like the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus and the disciples find themselves in a desolate place. Jesus had actually withdrawn to mourn the death of a loved one when a crowd followed him, interrupted him, and the disciples come to him saying, Jesus, we got to go to another town. There's nothing here for people to eat. We don't have any food. And Jesus is like, no, you have what you need right here with me. Friends, you don't need another job. You don't need another spouse. You don't need to move to another town. Jesus is teaching his disciples and us today your actual life, your actual joy, Jesus says, is where I am. And maybe where you find yourself right now is a desolate place. Maybe you feel this week the sorrow over how much death is in our world. Well, hear the good news, friends. Jesus says, in this world you have sorrow. And he continues, but I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. The world so filled with death is not the end of this story. In Jesus, there is a resurrection dimension to the story. The experience of joy is defined now not only by the joy of creation, but of recreation. The joy, friends, of resurrection. And God only brings resurrection where there's death. Because of resurrection, there is the possibility to choose joy, even in the darkest of circumstances. So, friends, let God surprise you. Practice letting God surprise you with joy. Week on week, as Sabbath comes into our lives and interrupts the expectations and experiences we have with a day of delight, a day of joy. I've heard it said that happiness like isn't the same thing as joy, right? And I don't know, I think it depends like how you define these words. And joy is somehow like irrelevant to our circumstances while happiness is like really tied to them. It all sounds a little bit to me like a creative explanation that doesn't make a lot of sense. So here's what I see in scripture and I want to offer you. Joy, while it pays a great deal of attention to circumstances, doesn't center the present circumstances. And this has a really good effect, right? That means that someone who is joyful can still care for hurting people, is emotionally engaged, and isn't aloof and happy-clappy at a funeral. A person who is joyful is rather buoyant like a buoy in sorrow, because that person captures this glimpse of what we're made for, which is to say joy. Sorrow and sadness, those are the ones passing through, not joy. Like a wave will hit and then will move through, the buoy moves with and through the wave and isn't overwhelmed by it. What that means for us in terms of Sabbath, friends, is that Sabbath is not simply an escape from the sorrow of the world. It is this promise that we live out every week that sorrow doesn't win. It is the promise that sorrow doesn't win, that something or someone is yet holding us fast. There is, as we sang earlier, a rock to stand on, namely Jesus Christ. Sabbath is not a pretend space that sorrowful things don't exist in or simply can't hurt us. Rather, it is choosing to not give ultimate power to such things. The joy, friends, is possible. But why? Because God is joy. The world was made from the overflow of that joy that exists between Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And the Sabbath day calls us to remember that. It calls us too to remember that God is recreating that same joy among us. I love this. This is a translator of the Bible from the 1500s named Erasmus. He translated John 1 this way. In the beginning was the conversation, a shared conversation of joy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The world began in a joyful conversation and is being remade to hold that conversation again. This is the promise that Jesus puts in our hands like a Coca-Cola sitting beside us, inviting us to drink, to enjoy. We so badly need this refreshment that God commands us to guard this joy in a weekly way of delight when we take the Sabbath day. I want to just give you three applications to consider as you enter into today's joy, but also into a weekly rhythm, a day of delight. How can joy become a noun to you, a day of delight? How can it become a characteristic of your soul, like an adjective, joyful? How can it become a verb, something you do, you enjoy? So first of all, how to make joy a noun in your life? To practice Sabbath, it's a day of joy. Like Sabbath in the Bible was a 24-hour period, but you know, if you need to start with like a three-hour time frame, it's better to start with where you are than wait till you get somewhere you're not gonna get. So friends, if that's gonna be helpful to you, start where you are, not necessarily where you want to be. We're learning about this in home groups, so if you aren't already in a home group, it's a good time to join as we're experimenting with this day of delight together. Second, through making Sabbath a day of joy, how can you make yourself in the process joyful? How can you become joyful? Well, I would say search for real joy, specifically God as joy. It's an underestimated part of the scriptures that God is joy. The author A.W. Tozer says this: what comes into your mind as you think of God? Take a second. What comes into your mind as you think of God? That is the most important thing about you, says A.W. Tozer. Many of us have yet to realize God as joyful. Being with someone who's mad at you, maybe, is what we go through. Who is a taskmaster, checking the list, checking it twice, right? Who's naughty or nice? Versus the father who runs out to hug his son, who's covered in pig slop, if we want to go with the prodigal son story, before he's even come to the door and knocked. God, the most joyful being in the universe, who throws parties, who turns water into wine. Think about the people you love being with, who are fun and exciting. You feel in on something with them. Someone you are drawn to, who's magnetic. God has that pickup you're lacking. God's desire for us is to share in his joy. Let's have fun with this, okay? God isn't just wanting compliance. He's wanting life to the full for us. Get this. Jesus in John 17 prays that our joy would be full. Becoming full of joy, becoming joyful, involves being filled with God, who is joy himself. Okay, finally, how do you make joy a verb? How do you, like, enjoy? What allows you to enjoy God and be rejuvenated by him? Like sacraments, gathered worship, I'm sure it was your first answer. But what else, okay? Like creation, hiking, soccer, golf, art, reading, writing, binge watching The Bear? Probably not. Sports teams? Ooh, that's kind of a tough one. I think we need to watch out for counterfeit joys as we're learning to enjoy. So I, as you may know, follow an English soccer team called Tottenham Hotspur. And the English, like, soccer tradition got started as a way to practice, quote unquote, recreation on Sundays. What it ended up becoming was a replacement for church on Sundays. And so what you have is a cathedral of sorts, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, seating 65,000 odd people. And they sing songs literally that are remade hymns. So one of their songs is "Glory, Glory, Tottenham Hotspur." And then another one is, "Oh, when all the Spurs come marching in, when all the Saints come marching in." Like, I mean, it's literally so, like, plain there on display. And it's this opportunity to just, I think for many of us, see the ways in which we've been hoodwinked by counterfeit joys. Because if your delight, if your day of delight is based on how well your team's gonna do, and you're a Tottenham Hotspur fan, you're not going to be that happy, okay? I'm just going to let that out there. I mean, that might be an occasion you're going through right now with the Seattle Seahawks too. So I think, what are we actually finding our delight in? And it's subtle, and it happens slowly over time. Locate your joy. Enjoy things that actually rejuvenate you and connect you to God. One of the key ways I think we can do this is to find people who understand joy and really understand, too, how close sorrow can live to joy. Be with these people. Be with people on this day of delight who are familiar with how joy emerges, where it comes from, and where it takes us in the midst of life. Not in spite of life. So that we can experience real joy together, not some counterfeit version. Friends, on one day a week, we come into this invitation to God and his invitation to us to sit, to enjoy. And as this practice of Sabbath begins to be more and more a thing that marks you, I wonder how the restlessness in the rest of your weeks will begin to feel. As weekly we celebrate by the breaking of bread, I wonder how you might experience daily bread, Jesus showing up in your life in ways that you deeply need and have longed for, but have yet to practice receiving. Friends, may we come into this time each Sunday with this invitation, this promise from Jesus, that we can know joy, and that in Jesus our joy can be full. May it be so. Amen.